25 copies of this original song with no title, and the author demands that he remain anonymous. So don't ask me any questions. The word will probably get around. It's a very good song. Take us a little while to sing it, 2 pages. And I'm going to pass it out, and I'm going to, this, you have to get at least 3 guys to a copy on this one. Because it's real bad. Here's one.
Over here.
All right, now, I'll head on you guys to the eyes. Pass them back.
Hey, give us one more here.
All right, now, I have to give you a couple instructions on this song.
Go ahead, put your
ball in the background. Yeah, somebody can accompany, lay along. I see a lot of guys with instruments in here. This is played to the tune of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. That's the one that they always play when the Union charges, you know? So, we've got seven verses. Find out your attention, we've got 7 verses. Now the last verse, number 7, half of it's in a foreign language. It says, on the second line, to the beach at Who Now Now. I don't know where Who Now Now is. The author claims there is such a place. It's in Hawaii somewhere. It's significant. The second word is in the second to the last line. It says, this trip is pow, P-A-U. That's pronounced pow, and it means ended, over. It's Hawaiian. Okay. All right, has everybody got a copy? Can everybody get us a word somehow and we'll get started?
Yeah.
All you guys with instruments, let's have a little accompaniment. You guys can sing harmony. Don't be afraid to sing harmony even if it's bad. When it comes to the chorus, let's just crack the hull, okay? I'll start out here. We've got fuel in the building and love upon the stack. Salt upon the boat, the world upon the coast, one rack. The barnacles on the bottom and we got them off our track. We ain't going to sea no more. Holy Jesus, what a hell of a way to die. Holy Jesus, what a hell of a way to die. Holy Jesus, what a hell of a way to die. We ain't going to sea no more. We stop to take our beer upon the Isle of Old Midway. We cool their lousy noonies and they would let us stay. We ain't gonna see them no more. Holy Jesus, what a hell of a way to die. Holy Jesus, what a hell of a way to die. Holy Jesus, what a hell of a way to die. We ain't gonna see no more. We arrive on Station Victor and commence to toss around. And then the engineer appeared wearing an ugly crown. Said he to the captain, sir, we are broken down. We ain't gonna see no more. Holy Jesus, what a hell of a way to die. Holy Jesus, what a hell of a way to die. Holy Jesus, what a hell of a way to die. We ain't gonna see no more. We would go to Yokosuka via Tokyo, Taiwan. We headed for the alley searching for our old girl's arms. When the blissful night was over, all the end was gone. We ain't gonna see no more. Holy Jesus, what a hell of a way to die. Holy Jesus, what a hell of a way to die. drunken days. Half the crew was in the rag, no license today. They will play for no delays. We ain't gonna see no more.
Let's give them a good break. If they try real hard, don't boo them too much. try and be kind, considerate. Really want to finish. Give them a good hand when they're done. Let them know.
I doubt it.
I'm a volunteer.
I doubt it.
I'm a volunteer.
laid back like a monkey in a cage.
Agenda we have from the other side back at Green Room 5. All of a sudden, Green Room 5 is Green Room 4. I don't want to. There you go, okay. Oh, that wasn't part of the show.
Well, good evening, gentlemen and gentlemen. Don't you always there was a woman among you, huh? So anyway, for this evening, we were going to sing our first number first, but since we follow the crabs, we'll do our second number first. And a little calypso number called the Jamaica Farewell.
Where the nights are gay and the sun shines daily on the mountain top. I took a trip on a sailing ship, and when I reached Jamaica, I made a stop to lunch and say I'm on my way. I'll be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston town. Laughing everywhere and the dancing girls swing to and fro. I must declare my heart is there, though I've been from Maine to Mexico. Now I'm sad to say I'm on my way, only back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in the Kingston town.
Down at the market you can hear ladies cry out from on their heads they bear. Dusky rice, salt fish are nice, and the rum is fine any time of year. But I'm sad to say I'm on my way. I'll be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston town. I'm sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is out, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston town.
Times to try men's souls. In the course of our nation's history, whenever the rights of man have been threatened, brave men have come to the rescue. Today, a new crisis has arisen. The Metropolitan Transit Authority, better known as the MTA, is attempting to levy a burdensome tax on the population in the form of a subway fare increase. Citizens, hear me out. This could happen to you.
Let me tell you all a story of a man named Charlie on a tragic and faithful day. He put a dent in his pocket, quiet and badly went to bat on the MTA.
Well, they couldn't get off of that train.
Well, they
forgot to tell you about one addition to the program. Only if everybody knows. Under judges, you have to put two more. Lieutenant O'Brien and Commander Unterein decided they wanted to be judges too, so what am I? Anyway. Let's see, who's next? Oh yes. Yes, we have a great literary event. Alright. You ready? Okay. I present Lawrence B. Clark reading chapter 3 from his own novel, A Question of Black and White.
Just stand there.
Don't hold it.
You don't need to hold it,
Clay.
She'll swing with you.
I'm a broken.
All right, now this is just serious. So
this is very serious.
Right, let's not laugh.
This is going to win a Pulitzer Prize.
Right.
Ready? Jonathan Philpott sits in his office alone, his eyes on the smoke that curls from his pipe, but his mind quite far off in the future. He thinks of the trial which opens in 30 days and how it might, hell, it will turn out to be the turning point in his life. Funny how up till a short time ago he had accepted as a decree from heaven that he would never rise above this office. Now times have changed. Who knows? Now he might become a senator. That ambition had burned in his heart before, but he had given it up. Now it burns afresh. All he has to do is defeat the defense in the Herbert Foster trial, and who can say? He has already gained some popularity. Surely Ralston can't overlook him now. After the Senate comes the White House. No, don't become a dreamer. We must be realistic. The South is no longer the place for presidential aspirants. Still, there are other positions of prestige and influence. Maybe by kissing the right hands and countering to the right people. He is still comparatively young, as politicians go. 41 last February. There is plenty of time for him to climb the great ladder. He can conquer the world by prosecuting Herbert Foster. Why Jonathan Philpott was never accepted into Senator Ralston's inner sanctum has never fully been revealed. Perhaps Senator Ralston was like Caesar in his preference for bald and fat men. Men he could trust to be cowardly in his absence as well as his presence. It could be that he distrusted Jonathan Philpott. Then, too, Jonathan is not attractive as a personality. His selfishness and greed show through even his attempts at urbanity. Those qualities can never be completely hidden. For sometime in every man's life, there is a moment when he must be himself. Also, he is unattractive physically, being short and stocky and having a very harsh visage that no show of friendliness can cover up. His voice is high and shrill and detracts from the quality of his speeches in spite of the fact that he is a quite accomplished orator. But now he can overcome nature in Ralston and rise in this world. His record is growth for that prosecutor's impressive. There is no reason for him not to be proud of it. Who wouldn't be confident? Foster is a guilty man. He says he's not, but doesn't the guilty man always deny his guilt, in many cases even more vehemently than the innocent? He is. Ben Ambrose will interview Foster, eh? Good. He's a challenge. Ambrose, a crafty shyster indeed, but even he can't pull this one out. He has met Ambrose before. It was in Chicago. He was on vacation, and Ambrose was fresh from his sensational victory in the Vickers versus Burroughs libel suit. Ah, yes, Ambrose pulled that one out splendidly. Ambrose, he recalls, is courteous and outwardly gentlemanly, but in all a little too cocky. Ambrose had said, a prosecutor, eh? I hate prosecutors. I hate people who play God. The man had no tact. You just don't say things like that to people. Ambrose should have been put in line long ago. Well, hell, why worry? He's got it in the bag. Fancy tricks can't change black into white. Odd that he should use such a simile, isn't it? Foster will die, his deserts. Ambrose will be forgotten in time, as are all men with such shallow pretensions to greatness. Philpott's grandchildren may read about him in their history books. His eyes are still on the curling smoke from his pipe as he dreams on.
Mr. Clark, outstanding. Wow, we're moving along pretty quickly here now. Well, I guess we're going to go right on to the next act. Again, we go back aft for an outstanding performance from the Three Jolly Coachmen. Right here. Yeah.
Yeah.
two and three jolly coachmen sat in English tavern. Three jolly coachmen sat in English tavern. And they decided to have another wagon.
Ho, 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 don't ho, ho me, you nasty man.
Ditty here is a number that's familiar to some of you, that's been written up in the Red Devil Gazette previously. It's an old medical song which has been carried on through the ages about an age-old disease which no one seems to find a cure for, but it's a common ailment in mankind for thousands of years. This old ditty goes a little something like this.
That you can say about medicine today. We face great strides in drugs and surgery, but there's still one disease we cannot treat the disease. You say you can. It's perjury.
Hemorrhoid.
Hemorrhoid.
Nothing you can often burn.
Hemorrhoid.
You said the doctor said
hemorrhoid.
You think your life is void, you should have.
But they just don't help so much, and sit down giving me for just a while. So we switch to medical, and it's not a long point home, but still we sit, and we can't smile.
Hemorrhoid,
hemorrhoid,
and it's an open bird.
Hemorrhoid, if you let the concern.
Hemorrhoid, if you think your life is void, you should have.
Sister. pretended it's a crappy life. Hallelujah. The song ended in a crappy life. Hallelujah. Go and all the forward call.
Straight from the bluegrass country of Kentucky, Tennessee, North Carolina, and California, Bobby Line 2.
Hello, all you mothers. Don't mind me calling you mother, I call my daddy's wife that.
I'm gonna
dancing in the water. Down beside where the water flows, down by the bank of the Ohio. And lonely slave, that you be mine. In the other arms entwined, down beside where the water flows, down by the bank.
Because they only did one number, so they want to come back and do one more number for you. Come on, boys. Hey, friends, that's the second time you're holding it. They're all ready, and they come. Okay. I don't know what they have in mind, but they have a second number to do just to keep everything fair. Here they are, the Crafts.
Well, Johnny was a big old pound. Pounded him all the same. The way he pounded the brack, he was a goddamn crying shame. He was her man, but he was doing her wrong. Johnny said, I won't do it. Said, I won't do it no more. Last time I saw Johnny, he took his licking up to a two-bit whore. He was cranking down, but he was doing her wrong. Frankie went to the bar room, pulled a Colt 44. That Rudy toot-toot three times, she didn't shoot them blood-dipped skins before. Poor old Johnny wouldn't screw her no more. First shot, Johnny staggered. Second shot, he failed. Third shot hit him in the left lung, and blew his kidney in his arm. But he was screwing her off. Laurel loved this story. He could but carry the stick. Old man like Johnny, like run around with bricks. Put him under the ground. Said, here lies the old pound, and his papa pounded every bee hole in the town. But he's doing her wrong. Yeah.
something coming up. I'm not exactly sure what to call it.
I don't know exactly what it is myself.
But it's called, I think they call themselves the Chautauqua Players. And they've got a little dramatic thing to do for us. It's called Gold Foot. So here we present Gold Foot.
Go foot, a man with the club foot. Go foot, the man with the club foot. He smelled so bad, it was kind of sad. The man with the golden foot.
Let he who is without talent cast the first tomato. Our next scene opens with a golf match between Mr. Goldfoot and Bames Yawn. They're being caddied by Mr. Goldfoot's faithful servant, Head Job. Goldfoot, what's this I hear you so tough? Head Job, show Mr. Yawn your terrible hat. Remember? Well, what else can you do? Mr. Yawn, give Head Job your golf ball. You fool! He made that turn! partner on you, you. Good God, we stopped. Mr. Goldfoot, your battery's dead! Look at the tire! It's stuck on the gum! What kind of gum is this?
Look, it's all stringy!
Hey! What's
happening? I'm flipping the thing. Shit, that was
I am on that gum!
Hey! Lights!
Our next scene opens. For Mr. Yond is being held prisoner by Head Job and the notorious Goldfoot.
Well done.
Well, Mr. Yond, we finally got you where we want you.
What are you gonna do to me? I didn't do nothing. I was just.
Head Job.
I'm sorry.
Take care of this man. That's okay. Another failure. Well, Mr. Yond, since all else has failed, I see I'm going to have to tickle you to death.
And do what? Feed me the pinchy thing?
Lights.
That's it.
Good thing Rex isn't a judge, huh? Okay. That's all the acts for tonight. Now we gotta have the big the judgment and everything. So all the judges will withdraw to the starboard side, and we'll get the judging over with. In the meanwhile, while that's going on, we have another courtesy act, more or less, to entertain you while the judges are convening. We have Mr. Keith and the doctor graciously consented to get up here and do a little act for you, just out of the goodness of their heart. So,
first thing, let's give Ski a big hand here. He did most of the work in this, and although everybody enjoyed it here, let's give him a roll. Quitting head or hard head is going to be right after this is over, I'm saying.
Well, you're
in the hard. Okay, the most important member here of our group is Mike. You probably noticed tonight, this stage fright is a serious thing. Everybody worries about it. Come on in. Let's give him a big hand. He's a great guy and a great performer. Come on, a big hand. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, well, as you know, I was up on deck and I finally saw the light and went down below, so I've been standing the 8 to 12s, both 8 to 12s, by the way, with Gaskell. Fitz said that the two of us don't have enough brains to float an ounce of shit. Well, the other night, Huck comes running down the ladder. He's all excited, and he says, we got a profuse leak in the sanitary pump in the motor room. Gaskell kind of looks at me, and I look at Gaskell, and he says, Mr. Keith, I think that's a big fucking leak. Okay, we're on a pretty intellectual level, so my first joke involves a college professor.
Okay, one moment.
We're going to have a little contest here.
And we want you to decide who tells the best joke while you're applauding.
Remember who made me make an extra troll. I won't ever see him again. Okay, well, I'll go ahead since I'm the better and take the lead. First joke involves a college professor. You know, nowadays I never got exposed to it until I guess you're CRISPR, so. I know a lot of you guys aren't exposed to it. Yeah, there's a certain element they call sex. Well, they're trying to describe this in college, okay, at an intellectual level, so. This Professor McNulty, we'll call him, he's starting to bring it in. He said, now, how many in the class know what intercourse is? Geez, they all looked around, especially the female group. They seem, only they know more about it, they seem more reluctant to admit it. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. About 50% of the class raised their hands. So he thought, well, I'll go into detail a little bit. So he asked, how many people know five different ways of committing intercourse? All of a sudden, this guy in the back room, he reminded me a little bit of Huck, you know, a silent type, had been around a lot, you know, let me pull the wool over your eye. He's hollering, 39, 39, 39! Jeez, he's bellowing this out, and the professor, that goddamn bastard, fuck anything that's walking around here, I'm not going to call on him. So he calls on this little girl, he says, how many ways do you know? He says, four. Very well, four different ways, that's good. Calls on this next guy. How many ways do you know, Johnny? Five. Well, you're a male. You should know one or two more. That's good. 39! 39! 39! This guy in the back. Like I said, he reminds me a lot. 39! 39! Jesus Christ, the press is getting all embarrassed and shaky, and he doesn't know what to shit do. All the thing he knows, he doesn't want to call on this guy. So he goes down the line, and he asks this next little girl named Janie. How many ways do you know, Janie? Says four. Well, that's okay. Finally, this little timid thing sitting over in the corner. All cuddled up. She doesn't have her hand on. Mary over there, last seat. How many ways do you know? Well, Professor, I only know one way. Just one way. Stand up and tell the class about it. Tell us about it. 39! 39! 39! Shut up back there. Shut up. He's trying to hold this guy down. Please, Mary, stand up and tell the class this one way you know. Well, it's the old-fashioned way where a couple gets in bed and the woman gets on the bottom and the man gets on top. 40! 40! 40!
40! Well, my little tale concerns three Englishmen. They're members of the Adventurers Club in London, a very exclusive organization. And it's one of their annual big meetings, and they're all gathered around to hear the three oldest guys in the club tell about their most exciting experience. They've all had a couple of drinks. So the three oldest guys are the most esteemed members of the club. The first guy gets up, and he's about 70 years old, and he walks up to the bar, and he leans down a little bit.
Well, I say there, gentlemen, about the most exciting time war you ever had was back during the First World War, was?
There, yes. Mm.
Well, there I was flying over enemy territory. I dropped my bombs right on the brothers, blew them all to hell. Well, as I was turning around, flying back to jolly old England, the ACAC opened up, boom, 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 boom. Hit me right in the wing, they said, just as I was about to hit the channel. Well, my bloody wing was hanging on by a thread, it was. Well, I just barely made it across the channel and landed just outside of good old, jolly old London, and that blooming wing fell right off the plane. What? Most exciting time I ever had.
Well, so everybody here applauded a little bit. They thought, well, that's a pretty good tale, but what about the next guy? Well, the next guy is a little older yet. He's 80. He's getting kind of old and crotchety, and he gets up there, and he leans on the bar, and he coughs a little.
About the most exciting time I ever had, gentlemen, was a big game routine, it was. In Kenya. Hunting the white rhino. There we were, crossing the belt for days and days and days with the safari in my trusty gun-bearer Mimbo. Well, I say, gentlemen, we hadn't seen a thing for days. And then, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, came this huge white rhino coming at me, hell-bent for leather. Well,
everybody in the audience got kind of excited about this. What'd you do, Governor?
I did what I should have done. I reached for my gun from my gun bearer. But the bloody bro got scared off and ran up the nearest tree, he did. Left me alone there with a big rhino. Well, gentlemen, I want to tell you, I was a bit frightened. I drew my trusty sidearm, and I shot the blubber point blank, just about as he was about to hit me. I hit him right in the eye, and he fell dead at my feet. Most exciting time I ever had.
Well, everybody agreed this was even a little better than the first guy's story. So finally, the third guy, the oldest guy in the club, the senior member, who's 90 years old and really old and crotchety, gets his cane and walks up to the bar and leans on the bar and has those drinks and coughs a few times.
Well, gentlemen, it certainly is an honor to be here tonight. about the most exciting time I ever had, this on the second bloke was a big game hunting. big game hunting in New Guinea. Going after a gorilla. There we were in New Guinea, cutting through the underbrush for days and days. Didn't see a blooming thing, and then all of a sudden, one morning, I heard this funny noise over in the bush behind some underbrush. Gentlemen, I went over to investigate, and I looked, and my God, here was this great, big, huge, 15-foot gorilla with big, fiery red eyes. Gentlemen, I reached for my gun, and like the other bloke, my gun bearer got scared and ran off. I looked at that gorilla, and he looked at me with his big, fiery red eyes. And, gentlemen, he rose back on his haunches and he went, "Aah!" Gentlemen, I just shit.
So somebody in the audience is,
"Oh, say, Governor,
trying to save face, you know, this poor old guy and using language like this in an exclusive club.
I say, Governor, quite all right, you know. Think if I were in a similar circumstance, why, if we could be better, I think I'd sit too. Hey, what, gentlemen?"
They all agreed. And the old guy says,
No, you young whippersnapper. I don't mean I just sit down. I'm in right now, and I'm with you."
Well, the judges have reached their momentous decision, and rather than you guys throw the tomatoes to me, I'll present Captain Carson. I know you won't throw the tomatoes.
Where's Mario?
Oh,
he's
gone.
Well,
Mario,
you got anything?
First thing I want to say is how much I've been impressed by the amount of talent we've got on board here. I'm not going to say that it doesn't show up during a working day, but it sure comes out at night. I'm not allowed to divulge the individual votes. I've been sworn to secrecy, but the group decided that third place should go to the Foggy Mountain 2. And second place, the Crab. Jolly Coachmen were voted the top singing group this week. I know you all put in a lot of work. I know the performers spent a lot of time getting ready for this, and I know Ski did a lot of sweating and worrying about the program. And it represents quite a lot of individual effort. I hope we can do it again. I think everybody enjoyed it. Thank you.
We all decided after a brief discussion here to be bringing the shit-kicking music. An old favorite by Porter Wagoner called Satisfied Mind.
How many times have you heard
else get in. We'll all have him rough mini meeting Monday. Monday sounds good. And print some money up for the exchange, or something like $20, you know, it'd be on a 10-to-1 scale. We explain all this good stuff to you. Second thing, about the time we leave Midway, we thought we'd have a big hootenanny on the fan field. Anybody that's got anything to play, get back there and kind of have a sing-along for half an hour, maybe a barbecue and some beer on that night. So keep this in mind, there's no reason we can't schedule one of these a week. You know, we won't wear a good thing out. Another big hand for Ski here.
Well, I managed to get a second place people to come out here and do us another number again. Let's go, friends. I think that's part of the talent. They make you wait, you know? They get hungry for it.
Just so there's not another act
from Lambert. All right, here he comes. You're on your way again.
$12. That'll give them three apiece. I think.
Hi, everybody. Hope you had a good time. And if I'm around next patrol, I will sure as hell try to get another one of these shows going.
Is there anything on your mind?
There is. Thank you very much again.